And it's going to be an interesting study. I mean, there's only three of us, but I think we can still get something out of it. Ephesians chapter 5 is what we're going to look at. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21 is, and it's not your typical return of Christ conversation, but I really think that coming out of what we were in, and that's why I went ahead and pulled this up, coming out of what we were in and what we had talked about, I think that this is where we, a good transition point that we can look at. But Ephesians 5, 15 through 21, and I thought I had my Bible in the car and I got here and didn't. Imagine that, the preacher didn't have his Bible. But I grabbed one of the New Living Translations we've got back there. That, yeah, let's go with that. It says, so be careful how you live, not as fools, but as those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but try to understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. Then you will sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts. And you will always give thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And further, you will submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then it does continue going on there in Ephesians 5, talking about married couples and, you know, wives submitting to husbands and husbands to wives. But that first verse, I mean, as I've said many times, and I know, Joe, you've heard me say it. Jamie, you may have even heard me say it a couple times. I don't believe that the writers wrote these in chapter and verse. I think they just wrote them. So I think this was a letter to the Ephesians. So I don't know which side of the split there that should have been on. But verse 21, I want to look at with it. But basically, I want to look at this in a way, you know, of what we've talked about the last 3 weeks. We talked about what an abomination is. And essentially, it came down to the one verse out of Deuteronomy where we talk about that it's essentially anything that is outside the will of God. And, you know, so when it comes to discerning the will of God, we have a lot to think about. And anything that is an abomination or a lie is not going to be in heaven. I mean, that's what it tells us. So if we're living our lives in a way that is not according to the will of God, according to the word of God, then we are an abomination. That's kind of the solution we came up with over the last few weeks. But what I want to think about in this is, you've heard the term redeem the time. What does that necessarily mean? I mean, when you hear the words redeem the time, what does that say to you?
It means make the most out of the time you have.
Right.
I'll agree with that.
And, it, you know, basically don't waste your time here. And it's pretty much right here in verse 16 where it says, make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these evil days. I mean, as many times as we say the words in here or anywhere, man, doesn't that sound like today? Doesn't that sound like today? And to be honest with you, it all does. But, you know, the scripture says that our life is but a vapor. You know, that we're just a mist. Here today, gone tomorrow. You've got these situations. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know. We could walk out of here tonight, pulling out of the parking lot, and get hit by something. You know, somebody driving with their lights off, and we don't see them because this is one of the darkest areas in Avery County. Yeah, I mean, things could happen. We don't have any guarantees on the next 5 minutes.
Next 5 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen right here, right now. And so, you know, and I think about that as, like the situation 14 years ago when Monet, you know, Derek was wrestling and his mom, she, you know, the end of the match, she saw the end of the match and then she didn't see the next 5 minutes, you know, and things like that. Like it's, you know, and I see him talk about that, you know, dad, when he passed away. You know, I don't know what the last thing he saw or experienced was, but I do know that, you know, he stopped breathing here on earth. And, you know, and it comes for all of us. There's, what is it, the old cliche statement that no one gets out alive? And, you know, even Jesus died before he got out alive. But he had to drive, he had to die to get to redeem. And so we think about that. We shouldn't waste the time we have. And many people do. I mean, that's a way of life here in this unfortunate world, is that many people think they've got forever. They think they got until the end of time. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what the next 5 minutes could be. And so there's some instructions that Paul gives to the Ephesians here that I think for us, when we realize that we are an abomination, living the life that we live, and the reality of it is we go back to the end of last week, there is only one salvation for us, and that is Christ and Him crucified. So we can't exactly fix our problem by ourselves, but we can strive to live a life that is worthy of that calling that's on our life. Does it mean we'll get it right? Possibly not. But it's kind of like what Paul said. Does that mean that I go on sinning so that grace can abound all the more? No. So the first thing we see is verse 15. Be careful how you live, not as fools, but as those who are wise. In other words, walk carefully and wisely. What is it? Micah 6:8. It says, this is my will for you, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You know, that's God's will. I mean, it essentially says, and I know I misquoted the first part of that, but Micah 6:8, I mean, it's one of the best. I would have known it had I thought it.
Seek justice.
Yeah, the way that it starts, it just says, know, O people, the Lord has already told you what is good and what He requires. Yeah, that's the New Living Translation, but I love it. The way that it words that is, know, O people. Like, you know, well, if you go back to verse 6, what can we bring to the Lord to make up for what we've done? Should we bow before God with offerings of yearling calves? Should we offer Him thousands of rams or tens of thousands of rivers of olive oil? Would that please the Lord? Should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay for the sins of our souls? What, or would that make Him glad? And the answer to those questions is no. It says no. The Lord has already told you what is good, and this is what He requires: to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God, or to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I mean, you know, I love the way that it's put in those words. But the Lord has already told you what He requires of you: to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's it. He's not required us to do anything else. He's not required us to be anything else. He's simply required us to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. So, you know, the walk carefully, walk wisely that Paul mentions here. But why? I mean, I think we kind of described it a little bit, but why are we to walk carefully? Why are we to really, you know, understand that? I mean, the answer is right here. Verse 16 tells us a little bit, evil days. I mean, why do we need to try to walk wisely? The days are evil.
I'm using, I guess, a KJV, and I don't know
why. Yeah, I can pull one of those out.
Well, mine's a study Bible. Right here it says, for verse 5, 15, 16, it translates under it.
Uh-huh.
For the people like me that don't understand so well, it says, Christians should be wise and careful in all things, including their use of time. Our use of time is not neutral. It can be evil. It is not invested for our good.
Right. Is that, that's in Ephesians?
It's, yeah. Ephesians 5, okay. 15, 16.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, and that's, you know, because the days are evil, to understand the will of God is also part of that. If we don't understand the will of God, you know, that's verse 17. And that's the next step that we're taking here, but you know, there's basically what we're seeing is if we don't, for us to redeem the time, and the reasons we redeem the time is exactly what you just said. We don't get a second chance. When that bell tolls, when death knocks, when the door is closed, the second chance is done. You know, The second chance starts the moment you hear about God and the love of Christ and the fact that he died for you. It ends when you breathe your final breath.
It's kind of like the old cliche, we only go around this world once.
Yeah. And, you know, but unfortunately that old cliche has turned into a new statement of YOLO. And people were like, well, I only live once. I'm going to make the most of it. Well, they forget that you can't be friends with the world and friends with God. It tells us that also. But so basically, for us to understand the will of God, we can go back to Micah 6:8 and we can start there. But, you know, basically, we don't need to waste our time here. We need to walk carefully and wisely, and we need to understand the will of God. And, I mean, these are the things that Paul is saying. I'm saying these things because I feel like this is a good way for us to understand how not to be an abomination. And we mentioned at the end last week that there's a good way for us to, you know, I mean, as an abomination to the Lord, we've got to really understand there's no way we can redeem anything for ourselves. To redeem our time, we have to turn to the Savior and allow him to do it. But was it 1 Thessalonians 4:3-7? You know, we can flip there and read it, or I can summarize it in two words. But we'll at least read it, and then I'll summarize it in two words after that. But 1 Thessalonians 4:3-7, it says to us, God wants you to be holy, so you should keep clear of all sexual sin. Then each of you will control your body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion as the pagans do in their ignorance of God and his ways. Never cheat a Christian brother in this matter by taking his wife, for the Lord avenges all such sins. As we have solemnly warned you before, God has called us to be holy, not to live impure lives. You know, you've got that. Basically, the two words, be holy. Sum that whole section up in two words. Be holy. Then you've got 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which is what? Pray continually. And everything, give thanks in prayer. But, you know, no matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. You know, 5:17 is to pray continually. 5:16 is always be joyful. Well, if we can be joyful, we can pray continually, and we can give thanks in everything. That pretty well sums up a good day, right?
Can you think of a good example
of
give thanks in all things?
Oh, every day losing.
In scripture, can you think of a good example?
Where do you want me to start? Can you think of a bad one?
Like Job.
I mean, Job, Paul.
Yeah, though he strike me dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, still will I trust him.
Yeah. Paul, I've determined in all circumstances to be content. I mean, granted, this is also Paul, but, you know, I've determined in all circumstances to be content. I know what it's like to want, and I know what it's like to want nothing. You know, I mean, he's basically saying no matter what I face, I've determined, yeah. Well, Blake Vance put a Facebook post up today asking a question about, I don't even remember what exactly it was he asked, but I kind of threw in my two cents on it. But somebody else made a comment on there that was similar, talking about being content. And, he, you know, it was talking about, like, when do you give up, or when do you, you know, do you continue to keep pushing, or do you finally just give up at some point? He was just something he had been pondering, he said. But, you know, I put it up, I said it shows maturity when we finally come to the realization that we should give up and move on. And then I quoted the great philosopher Garth Brooks, sometimes God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. I firmly believe that there are no unanswered prayers. I think that the problem is that we're expecting a different answer. And that's why we don't get the answer.
The answer we want.
The unanswered part of the prayer is the answer to the prayer.
Yeah.
But what someone else said on there, it said, you know, Paul kept striving. Said he was shipwrecked 3 times and he still got on a ship. So, I mean, if you think about it that way, there is that situation where, you know, Paul was, you know, he was shipwrecked 3 times. How many times you got to be shipwrecked before you stop getting on one? you know, kind of thing. But
and he was met by prophets who told him exactly what was going to happen to him. So if you go there, mm-hmm. this will be what's going to happen to you. And Paul said, I don't have no choice. I have to go there.
Right. But what was it? I heard something on the radio, actually, while I was driving here tonight. And it was a statement of, you know, it's like nobody wants to read the story on an easy life. You know, nobody wants to read the story about a game that was easy. If somebody wins by 40, nobody's going to pick that up. It's not going to be the long story. But a one-point game that somebody won at the buzzer, that's the story everybody wants to read. It's like nobody's going to want to read your story. Nobody's going to want to hear the testimony if it doesn't include some kind of trial. Unfortunately, that's the way we're all geared. But the reality of it is do we want to look back and read that story if it were easy? It doesn't show where God's grace abounded anywhere. It doesn't show where his mercy had to take hold. It doesn't show where we were broken and we came back out of the ashes, where we were able to rise again. You know, we've got to get to the point where we realize this isn't a cakewalk. If it is it really what it's supposed to be? We're going to face trials. We're going to face troubles. We're going to face hard times. They come every day, especially for those who are grounded in their faith, because Job was the most holy at the time, according to Satan. And he said, well, you've given him everything. You've made it easy. And God said, all right, go for it. Because it's not about how easy it is. It's not about what you perceive. It's about, let me show you Job's faith. You know, let me show you Paul's faith. Paul could have had it easy. He was a Pharisee.
And he did for a while,
yeah. But so, I mean, but you know, it comes back to, because the days are evil, you know. And we live in evil days. But 1 Thessalonians 4:3-7, be holy. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all things. John 6:40, simply believe in Jesus. I mean, I don't need to read. You can write them down, look them up later, or call me. I'll text them to you. Matthew 18:14, none should perish. You know, John 3:16, none should perish. That's God's will. You know, with Peter, it's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. These are verses we see, and you know, we say, well, I don't know what God's will is. Well, I don't know what God's will for my life is. Well, I'm having a hard time discerning God's. It's black and white. It's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to know him. You know, God has told you what is right, to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly. He didn't give us a laid out plan for anything else. You know, Romans 8:28 says that, you know, that talking about the predestination of man, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Those he called, you know, are what? Predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's the plan. We were created in that image. We were created in the image of God. So we've been called to be in that. And then, so we get to that point where we need to understand the will of the Lord. All right, that's verse 17. Now, how do we understand the will of the Lord? Is there a way? Is there a script? Is there, what was it, Cliff's Notes?
Praise and thanksgiving.
The Holy Spirit. Yeah. That's, you know, praise and thanksgiving, yes. But the Holy Spirit, you know, verse 18 kind of gives us the answer. It says, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and what?
Command you.
Command you or control you or lead you. That's what Christianity is about. Letting the Holy Spirit come in, take hold. Letting that happen. How do you stop from being an abomination to God? Well, Let him no longer see you for you. You know, what was it? C.S. Lewis said one time, said, if we could see each other the way that God sees us because of Christ's blood, we would bow down and worship. Now, I added because of Christ's blood in there, but it's the same quote. I mean, that's the idea of what he meant. If we could see one another the way that God sees us, we would fall down and worship, because God doesn't see the sin. He doesn't see the bad, because we have been washed with the blood of Christ. So if we could see that glorified body that we've yet to see, but that he still sees in us, it would be a moment of awe, because it would still be the most holy thing we've ever laid eyes on. If we could see one another that way, it'd be amazing. But it would also be dangerous, because we'd lose sight of who God is. But it says, instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. Basically, drunkenness results in wasted time, clouded understanding, you know, and that could come from anything. It could come from drink. It could come from drugs. It could come from all kinds of different things. But basically, you know, when you have clouded understanding, when you allow things to block the Lord from your mind, that could be anything that gives you a sense of euphoria. It could be anything that we find happiness in. We can become drunk on a number of different things, because it clouds our judgment. It blocks our mind from seeing what the Lord's been trying to do. I mean, that could be all of those things that we talked about, talking about abomination. Was it sexual immorality? I mean, it could be drugs, alcohol, relationship, even a pure and proper relationship could become that, because we become wrapped up in something that's not of God. If we find ourselves in a situation where we're in a relationship and we start to put things before God, you know, it could be the materialism, like gaining more stuff. It could be a job that puts that in us. We become drunk on our job. Basically, drunkenness becomes over. It's an excess of something. It's almost gluttony, but you know, it's an excess when we allow ourselves to become overwhelmed in that. But what it says is that the Holy Spirit will guide us in all understanding, basically. In John chapter 16, 13 through 15, we kind of see it alluded to there by John, that, or by Jesus, actually, that the Holy Spirit will guide us in all understanding. He talks about the Helper who will come. And, you know, John 16, 13, he will guide you in all truth. John 16, 14, he will glorify Jesus. John 2 Corinthians 1, 22, 1 and 22, we are anointed, sealed, and guaranteed by that Holy Spirit. We are anointed, sealed, and guaranteed for God. In other words, that we have that opportunity to see what God can do. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22 simply says this. Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never find him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save all who believe. God's way seems foolish to the Jews because they want a sign from heaven to prove it is true, and is foolish to the Greeks because they believe only what agrees with their own wisdom. In other words, some people will only believe because it agrees with their point of view, and others will only believe because they see a sign. Sounds like today, doesn't it? I mean, just to be real. And we already have established that we're in a evil time. Every time is evil when you don't redeem it for the Lord. So the next thing you see is in verses 19 and 21, you see the evidence of the Spirit filled. You see the evidence of a life that is led by the Spirit. Because you start to what? You start to speak to one another in spiritual songs. You start to sing in your heart to the Lord. You start to give thanks to God the Father, and you do what? What was the last thing?
Submit yourself.
Submit yourself to one another. You become a team. You become a unified body. I think it's important that we realize that that last verse, verse 21, has to be in with this group, for the simple fact that submitting to one another doesn't necessarily that you always agree with one another. It doesn't necessarily mean that maybe Jamie and I see eye to eye on every little aspect of what life is about. But what it does mean is that I realize that there is a moment. It's a maturity level thing where there you come to an agreement that, you know, while we may disagree on this worldly thing, there still is an opportunity for us to move past this abomination, move past this upsetting moment, move past this situation that can cause grief. Because if we get back to it, what was it? I keep coming back to Proverbs chapter 6. And, you know, mentally, it keeps bringing me back to this. And I think that this is something that's a common theme in all of this for us. But Proverbs chapter 6, was it verse 16? It says, there are six things the Lord hates, no seven he detests. And I talked about this last week. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, a person who sows discord among brothers. I mean, those are the things that God hates. Those are the things he detests. Those are the things that are an abomination. But when we go back up into verse 12, it says, here is a description of worthless and wicked people. So if we really want to know who in this world, in this evil time, is someone we should steer clear for, they are constant liars, signaling their true intentions to their friends by making signs with their eyes and feet and fingers. Their perverted hearts plot evil. They stir up trouble constantly, but they will be destroyed suddenly, broken beyond all hope of healing. We realize that these are people, and they sow discord. You know, that line is what rings through my head, is they sow discord. And that's something that I think when we look around, we can judge a book by its cover, because what are they doing? What are they causing? What kind of problems surround them? Do they constantly have a back and forth with other people? Is there constantly a bickering back and forth between them and someone else? If there is, they are not following the will of God, because they're stirring up problems. I mean, you know who without saying names, I'm not asking anybody to say names, but I guarantee you that each one of us could probably think of three people in our lives at least right now who literally seem to do nothing but stir a pot. Like, they just want to continue to stir things up, cause a problem, and continue to make something relevant when it shouldn't be. You know, continue to bring up past items, continue to cause a situation where it becomes something that's a little bit more than it really ever should have been. All in the name of just actually just causing a problem. You know, it's almost like it's entertainment for them. And, I mean, we see it in government. You know, we see it right now in government. We see it with what's going on between the two political parties. You see it in the news where they continually just tell stories. I mean, we're a year into a presidency where we still talk about why he shouldn't have been elected. You know, he has been, and we've got, but if we have to deal with that pot stirring for three more years, it's going to get old. You know, eventually, are we going to move past that? But as Christians, we have to move past that. As Christians, we have an opportunity every morning when we wake up to put on a new day, to let the past go, to stop wasting our time in past conversations, to stop allowing those things to dictate where we go in the future. Does that mean we should forget about the past? No. I think there are things in the past that are relevant that can help us remember along the way. We can take opportunities to see the Lord move in good situations in mighty ways. But it tells us the evidence of a spirit-filled life is someone who speaks to one another in spiritual song, someone who sings in their heart to the Lord. They give thanks to the Father and they submit to one another. Instead of stirring the pot, let's work together to move forward.